Family Chat se enteró del $5 McChicken Meal Deal, del $5 McDouble Meal Deal y del nuevo $6 Daily Double Meal Deal. Todos con papitas y bebida pequeña más McNuggets de 4 piezas. ¡Wow! ¡Qué banquete! Por tiempo limitado, precios y participación pueden variar. No es válido para McDelivery.
With Car Gurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Gurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Gurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Gurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Do you remember your sex education? Was it helpful to you? Was it filled with scientific information rather than real, practical advice? I'm Diggory Waite, and this is The Real Sex Education. In this podcast, I'll be interrogating sexual myths, posing sex questions to special guests, and opening up our mailbox to answer your relationship conundrums. In order to do this, though, I need an expert. A sexpert, if you will. But the only sex and relationship therapist I know is my mum. Hello, mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Hello, and welcome to The Real Sex Education After School. I'm Diggory Waite, and I'm joined, as ever, by accredited sex and relationship therapist Kate Campbell. Hello, mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Hello. People who are listening won't be able to see that, but mum was sort of doing a little jig, so I thought I'd join her. She's probably excited because today we'll be answering some of the questions you sent in to her via our anonymous Google form, which you can find in the bio of this episode or our social media profiles. We're at the RSE Pod on X, formerly known as Twitter, Instagram and TikTok, which I'm loving at the moment, aren't I, mum?
You are. You're absolutely, absolutely going mad with it.
I know. I feel like I was saying, wasn't I, that if there's one thing that's more addictive than watching TikTok, it's posting TikToks. And I am posting so many of me and you and the podcast on there. And I'm just absolutely loving it.
I know. And we look so grown up and sensible and professional.
Yeah, as if. But what's good is I'm trying to like get more people to watch and more people to find all that sort of stuff. And because all of our posts are about relationships and dating and all that sort of stuff, I'm being recommended really interesting things like this, which was trending recently and clearly TikTok thinks I needed help with. It just simply says, it's a whole like trend, how to kiss properly. So how do we kiss properly?
What does properly mean?
Oh, I don't know. This is exactly what I mean. How to kiss properly. What is that? It's so interesting that that's what's come up. What does that mean?
Nobody's ever asked me how to kiss, but you can just go like that.
Mum just kissed the back of her hand. So I saw a few of these videos and people were being like, you shouldn't ever like actually like pucker your lips or like purse them. You know, they were like, that's how you kiss your grandma. And I was like, well, that's how I've been kissing. And I haven't kissed grandma for years.
There might be a reason for that.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Well, listen, this is what WikiHow says, and they've got a video on TikTok, and this is what TikTok recommends as the most helpful answer. So everyone at home, maybe we can all do this together.
Okay.
Practice on your hands by making an O with your index finger and thumb with each hand and interlocking them like lips. With each hand? Index
like
hand.
That.
Oh, does it like this? So it looks like I've sort of got my hands together now and I've got an O shape and mum stuck her tongue through it. Mum's sticking her tongue out through it.
Oh, well, are you supposed to?
I guess you are, but I guess it just looks weird in this context.
It's because a long way. It hurts your face.
It is. You can't
I'm
really
not doing
there.
That. I'm not kissing like that. It hurts your
I
face.
Can't. Well, this is insane. This is a terrible start. And then it says experiment with different pressure. Well, whatever pressure you were doing then, mum, was disgusting. That was too much pressure.
Yeah,
that was a lot.
I think
and
you're
then,
right.
Again, you've skipped to part three. The third bullet point, practice using your tongue. You went straight in for the tongue.
Straight to it. Straight to it.
For God's sake. And then this is the thing that, and this is why our show is like Blue Peter, because we've prepared this earlier. I told mum about this one bit. People on the show have told me before that, aka mum has told me before that I haven't prepped her enough for episodes, but I prepped her for this one. I said, mum, here's bullet point number four. Take a piece of soft, ripe fruit and take a bite out of it. Then pretend that hole is a mouth and practice kissing it. So Mum's got her kiwi there.
Yes.
Mum has got a kiwi in a little bowl.
Ramekin.
A little ramekin, my word. Mm. And it's lovely. She's peeled it.
It's green.
It's green. My kiwi.
Yes.
My kiwi is hairy. Yes. And it has a huge, tiny little hole cut out of it. And I'm supposed to kiss that.
It's got teeth. Look.
Yeah, they're little black teeth. Oh, no, you mean the jaggedy edges?
Yeah.
Okay, so are we going to give this a go then?
So what have we got to do? Have I got to bite a bit out?
You've got to bite a bit out of that and then try and kiss it. So Mum's just taking a bite of it. Now she's sucking
it
up. Now
it's
part of, is this part of the kissing? Why are you making a suction sound? This is not going to help anyone. Oh, God. This is terrible. She's currently... listen to that. No one's supposed to kiss like this. Oh, God. Okay. She's now got the napkin and she's stopped now.
I've got a proper hole. What am I going to do with this hole?
Well, I don't know. You've got to practice kissing it. This is the problem with this WikiHow thing. It just says practice kissing it. Mum! That can't be how you kiss.
Right, I've got a PhD in kissing now. Come on, let's see you. See if you're that good.
Well, it says purse your lips against it, which I'm doing now.
Oh, you didn't tell me to do that.
Well, I don't know. It just that's how I guess.
Purse
that's how you're
your lips against it.
Well, okay. Press your lips against it. Stop sucking. Stop sucking. Why do you keep sucking? I don't think that's how you kiss, is it? It's so hairy. Oh God, there's a bit on my lip. It's so hairy.
Well, you know, welcome to my world.
This is stupid.
I think this kiwi's in love with me now.
Right.
I'm choking.
Yeah, Jesus. Well, that is the top response on TikTok. That's what you're supposed to do. That was a complete nightmare.
It's nice.
It did get me thinking, though. Why do we kiss?
What, you mean biologically, why do we kiss?
I guess biologically, yeah.
Good question.
It is a good question. And that's why I've looked it up.
Does it expose you to the other person's DNA a bit? Does it get your body ready for this unusual and foreign DNA coming into your body
when you do eventually copulate? I think you're sort of close there. A lot of people think it's due to scent. So there's a Malay tribe, and the way they kiss is where a woman would squat in front of the man and the man would go up and sniff their head or just sniff around them. And that was a sort of vibe there. And
like other dogs.
Like dogs. And that's the thing, dogs and stuff. So whereas dogs and other animals have really good sense of smell, whereas we don't have as good sense of smell. And basically they think that what we were trying to do is we were getting close to our mate to sniff them. To get an idea of the scent. And we got so close, we ended up kissing them. But there's also other theories, is that people believe it's because we have an innate feeling from when we're babies that lip touching is good because it's associated with really positive things, such as breastfeeding and way earlier than that, like our ancient ancestors, our mums used to chew up our food and then spit it into our mouths. And so that's why the lip stuff was nice.
Do you want a bit of this kiwi?
Not after you've just kissed it. I don't want your sloppy seconds. Absolutely not.
It's well chewed now.
Yeah, I bet it is. I'm going to have to take out so much of that for people listening at home because they'll be like, this sound makes me feel sick. but we can see that's still the case because apparently our closest ancestors, the chimpanzee, still do that. They still chew up their food and give
it. What about Inuits?
Aha, yes. I feel like this is an episode of QI. I feel like you're just falling into traps left, right and centre about the research I've done. This is very interesting, okay? So this is another thing that's really, really, really interesting. There's a theory that clothing plays a part in this whole thing because when you look at other tribes and other cultures that are hunter-gatherer cultures, so basically closer to our ancestors, most of them, if not all of them, basically wear hardly any clothing. And almost none of them kiss, except for the Inuits, who we all think do the nose thing, but actually they do just kiss, but they just like rub their mouths together. But Inuits obviously have loads of clothes on, right? Because it's really cold, whereas these other hunter-gatherers don't have loads of clothes on. And so they have other sensual points on the body that when you want to do something like kissing, you can touch. However, we, in our culture, we're currently clothed right now. Your partner's probably usually clothed. If you want to do that initial bit of intimacy, the only place that's still exposed, really, of proper sensuality, is your lips. It's the only place left. What do you think about that?
Amazing.
Amazing. Last thing I'll say about that is that goes on along with this. There was a study done by anthropologist William Yankoviak, and he found that just 46% of 168 cultures around the world that he examined, just 46% of them use lip-to-lip kissing romantically. So actually, maybe kissing isn't that big a thing. So to all the people on TikTok, you want to know how to kiss properly, maybe you don't need to know how.
Do you know what I mean? I went through all that with a kiwi.
Yeah, you could have not. But you enjoyed it. You said it was tasty, right?
It was tasty and green.
Yeah, good. Mm. Okay, this has gone on far enough. So we should probably get to our question today. And the good thing is it's quite a short one. It's probably the shortest question we've ever gotten, except for there was
What's
one
the answer? No.
Well, no. Do you remember
Run.
Well, yeah, if you want to give a really short answer to this one, I think you actually, you know what? Your first answer, no, would probably fit this question.
Ooh,
but
okay.
But our shortest question before this one was just can't come. That was the question that was sent in, which I love that. That was a few episodes ago, probably a few series ago now. But here we go. This question came into us on our Google form, which I said is in the bio of this episode, and it's anonymous. So this one was anonymous as well. They just say simply, I don't know how to masturbate. Is that bad?
No.
There you go.
Next.
Your answer stands. No. Come on. Let's give them a bit more. The context they provided, they said, I'm a woman. I'm bisexual. That was all the context we got given with this question, but it's like quite short and sweet. I mean, so this isn't bad. Why isn't it bad?
Well, because nobody knows how to masturbate before they start. And the whole point is to explore and discover what you like, really.
Yeah, that's the fun.
So it's useful from that point of view. That's the fun of it. Do we know the gender of this person?
They identify as a woman and bisexual.
Okay. So the clitoris gets the majority of the attention when you masturbate, if you're a woman, often. But having said that, there are different ways of touching it. And, you know, some people like to use a vibrator, but if you use it very directly, I mean, you'll probably orgasm, but if you use it directly on the clitoris, it might be too intense. So sometimes people use it in the general area. Now, the actual clitoris, the little knob that you see on the outside of the body, is only an external part. And there is a lot more on the inside, and also running down the sides of the vulva and also inside. And the G-spot, which is a collection of nerve endings from the clitoris, if you have one, is about a third of the way inside the vagina on the top wall. And touching all of those areas is very stimulating. There's an area around the cervix as well, which is very sensitive, but you might not want to go digging around in there. Your breasts are very sensitive, but you may want to find other areas of your body. So some people have incredibly erogenous areas in their shoulders or thighs. So it is really up to you. Perineum. There are lots
Where's
of areas.
That? That Where's the perineum?
Between your penis and your anus, or between your vagina and your anus.
Oh, yeah,
so that
right.
area in between.
The gooch.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay, you learn something new. So really, it's about finding out what turns you on, and you won't know that until you try it, and it won't be the same as somebody else. So different kinds of pressure. I mean, some people masturbate by simply squeezing their pelvic floor muscles, and that's all they need. And
wow.
No
hands, riding
people,
a bike. Wow.
Yeah, and some people rub against their bed. It depends
on their pillow. I've heard a lot of that stuff going on.
Yeah. There's all sorts of things. I mean, you don't
sitting
know
on the
until...
washing machine.
Oh yeah, sitting on the washing machine's a favourite. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What of whose?
Any kind of vibration. But you know, it's really a matter of trial and error. So no.
So it's not bad.
It's no. Well, how would you know if you've never tried?
If anything, you know, a lot of people would be jealous of you in this scenario. They're like, this is the fun bit where you get to explore and go, wow, all these new sensations, all these new feelings. So
well,
you never
need to stop exploring. You can keep going on exploring forever and ever. I mean, it might be helpful to sit down with a hand mirror and examine your vulva and see how it changes when you touch it, because you can see the hood of the clitoris retract sometimes. You can see the colour of the vulva change when you're stimulating it. You can see maybe some lubrication appear. And it's just useful to know what you look like down there. So that might be an interesting thing to try as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this isn't bad. I'd just say if you want to masturbate, if you want to explore, brilliant. What a time to do it. You know, this is great. But otherwise, I wouldn't say it's necessarily bad. I know people who tell me in good faith, they're like, oh, I never masturbate, so it's fine. So maybe they don't know how to either. So it's fine.
Or maybe they just don't want to. You don't have to. It's not obligatory.
Exactly. Mm. So if you feel like it, great. If you don't, also great.
Don't bother.
Don't bother. But do bother joining us right after this, and we return in part two with more of your questions.
Can't wait.
Perfect. Cool. Are you ready?
I think I've lost a feeling.
Well, as we were speaking, what from that?
With that bloody kiwi, sucking the kiwi. I think I'm...
Oh, God.
Remind me never to suck a kiwi again.
I'm not going
to New Zealand.
Welcome back, everyone. This is part two of The Real Sex Education After School. We've got another one of your questions. This one, again, was sent in to us on our Google form, which is anonymous. Please do send those in. They're in the bio of this episode and our social media channels. But without further ado, let's have this one. Here we go. Love your show, heart emoji. Thank you. Thanks for breaking down the truths and destigmatizing topics that make us squirm. I'm a mental health provider, and I love having tools like your show to help my clients embrace their own sexuality. Oh my God, amazing. Thank you so much. I need help. Menopause, weight gain, fatigue, or some other force has destroyed my sex drive. I am able to orgasm as easily as when I wanted to have sex. However, I have zero libido. My long-term partner is a fantastically sexy and energetic man who would do anything and everything to please me. And yet I often would just rather crochet or clean the house. Can you imagine? I push myself to make as though, because I really want this to be happening. But all the while, I am thinking, I wonder how long this is going to take. I love my fella madly. I've tried romancing, increasing my fitness level, weight training, hormone replacement, herbals, THC. What do you suggest? I can't bear the thought of being without desire for the rest of my life, and I couldn't stand putting my beloved through that either. Thanks in advance, and keep the content coming. Love and hugs to you both. What a lovely question.
Yeah, it's a great question, isn't it? Right, so it sounds as if you've been in this relationship for a long time. So it might not be anything to do with the menopause. It might well be that you've been in the relationship for 10 years, roughly around that. By the time you get to 10 years, most women's libido has dropped right off a cliff. And if you were to start a new relationship, you'd suddenly rediscover it. So I'm not suggesting you do that. Just be aware that that is normal. It's absolutely normal. And it applies to a third of men as well, but most women. So sometimes it's a question of choosing to be sexual and maybe put aside. I mean, a nice way of dealing with it is to put aside some time every week or, you know, every day if you want to, but some time where you can be sexual if you want to, or not if you don't want to, because usually what you'll find is that the desire will follow arousal. So what you're probably hoping is that desire will occur spontaneously, and it may not do because you've been in this relationship for a while. So put yourself in a position where you can fool around together a little bit if you want to, or not, or just have a chat, something if you don't want to. And I often suggest having a bath together or lying naked together, something like that. Going in a jacuzzi or something, that's a nice one. But just seeing if you become aroused at all and want to take it further. If you don't, you can still have a really nice time and feel very intimate together. And there are loads and loads and loads of exercises you can do just to increase intimacy. And that could be a lot of fun. So it might be worth having a chat with a sex therapist or picking up a self-help book or something like that. But also be aware that post-menopause, you are, or around the time when the perimenopause time, you're not going to be ovulating as much. And when you're not ovulating, you don't have that spike in horniness that you would do normally. When you ovulate, it comes with a load of hormones, which make you feel desire and real, you know, urgent desire sometimes. And that can be quite a nice feeling. So when that stops, you miss it and you think, oh, my libido is completely gone. You do actually still probably have the same level of libido because that doesn't actually drop off. It's more to do with testosterone than estrogen. And it doesn't drop off until about 12 years after your last period. So in that case, it's probably still there, but you just have to look for it and notice it because you were noticing the big peaks around the time you ovulate, but not noticing the other times in the month when you feel less desire. So if you talk to people on the pill, they often say my libido's gone through the floor. That's because they're not getting that. It's not that their libido's gone through the floor. It's that they're not getting that peak because they don't ovulate anymore. So you're normal from the sound of it. And it sounds as though you can still really enjoy sex. It's just a matter of deciding to rather than waiting for the urge to strike.
Yeah. And like you mentioned the spontaneous versus responsive. I mean, she does say, you know, I do try and like I made it that way. I've made it as though, but I still just think, how long is it going to take? I wonder whether the sex therapy thing that you talked about and some of those experiments might be the way to go. And maybe not putting the pressure, and you sounds like not really putting the pressure on yourself as much. You know, having that time set aside, sure, but saying this isn't necessarily sex time.
I mean, this is why I'm against date nights, because people go out on a date night thinking, well, we're going to have sex at the end of tonight, but it can put tremendous pressure on you. And so that's why I say be in a situation where you can be sexual if you want to. And every act of sex does not have to end in orgasm or intercourse. You know, just go with what you feel like. And if you don't feel like much, then that's okay. The research suggests that most people, when you ask them if you were never going to have sex again or you're never going to have love again, which would you go for? And they normally say, I'd give up sex. So increasing the intimacy between you makes it more likely that you'll be happy in the relationship and also more likely that you'll be sexual as well together. So,
this is great advice. Increase the intimacy. Don't increase the sex.
Well, no, increase the intimacy and it may lead to sex. Yeah. But it, you know, it doesn't necessarily matter if it doesn't, you know, you don't push it. Get there gradually.
You're
putting pressure on yourself at the moment, and there's nothing like being told you've got to do something to make you not want to do it.
I still haven't tidied my room, have I? But I think that's a bloody brilliant answer. Increase the intimacy, and it sounds like you have a great relationship with this guy. So yeah, maybe put a time aside. Maybe get together, and lay down together.
And that also think about what you'd like to do to him. Not necessarily shag him, you know, but would you like to cover his face in little kisses or, you know, give him a love bite or, you know, kiss his neck or, I don't know, you know, run your hands through his hair or massage his shoulders. You know, go for it.
Yeah, lick his kiwi.
Lick it.
Yeah.
Digs. That leads to, that can be dangerous.
It can be dangerous. You might lose a tooth or whatever you've done. Yeah, we should go and investigate that. Well, I think that's a great answer, Mum. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. We are loving this so much. Please, please, please send in your questions via that anonymous Google form. It is in the bio of this episode and our social media profiles. We're at the RSC Pod everywhere, especially TikTok. Come and find me there. I'm loving it. Subscribe to this wherever you're getting this podcast right now. And we'll see you next time for some more real sex education. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Real Sex Education, which is hosted by Diggory Waite and Kate Campbell. The show is produced by Diggory Waite, and the executive producer is Claire Broughton. The Real Sex Education is a Hattrick podcast.
This podcast is based on the real-life relationship between Diggory Waite and his mother, accredited sex therapist Kate Campbell. The show is therefore inspired by, but otherwise unrelated to, the TV show Sex Education. But yes, Diggory does wish his mother was played by Gillian Anderson.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at cargurus.com. Go to cargurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CARGURUS.com. CarGurus.com.